Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Vegam Esrus Hamoviya Isha Smachlin Kanisim Elisha. We did this yesterday. We're reviewing the wife Rus Hamoviya, the wife of Isha Smachlin Kanisim Lili Isha. We did this. I have acquired Li. Li means forever as a wife. Lahakim Hashem Meis Al Nachalasai. And by marrying her, I'm going to establish. I'm going to put the name of the Meis Al Nachalasai. By taking possession of her property and marrying her, now she will always have access to the property. People will always associate the property with her husband. His name, the name of the mace, will not be cut off from his brethren, from the people of the city. Your witnesses today. Okay, so we did this for the yesterday. Now, Pasuk Gedalef. Vayomru chol ha'om asher bashar.
Thank you very much.
All the people in the gate, who's referring to the Sanhedrin, v'hazakenim edim, they all said yes.
We serve as witnesses to the fact that you have indeed acquired, have married Rus, and have acquired the estate of Machloin v'chilioin and the estate of Naomi. We are witnesses, and now they proceed to give Boaz a bracha. What is the bracha? Beautiful, elaborate bracha. Yitein Hashem es risha haba el beisecha. May Hashem grant, may Hashem give the isha, this woman that comes into your home, may she be to you kirachel uchaleya. May she be like Rachel and Leah, asher bonu shtehem. Together, both of them have built. Now, we should say really shtehen. We'll discuss that in a moment. If it's in the feminine form, it should be shtehen, with a nun, not a mem. But here it says, for whatever reason, shtehem, es beis Yisrael, v'ase chayil be'efrasa, and you shall achieve valor be'efrasa, ukrashem, and renown be'beis lochem in beis lochem. There's like some poetic repetition. Efrasa and beis lochem are really one and the same. And may you accomplish great things with this new wife of yours, with Rus Hamoviya. Okay, let's see Rashi. There's a lot going on. There's a lot taking place in this pasuk. Pasuk get off in Rashi. Kiracha luchaleya. Af al pi shahayu mishevet Yehuda u'mibnei leya. So here Rashi is pointing out something very interesting, that even though Boaz was from Shevet Rachel, Boaz had nothing to do with Shevet, with Rachel. Boaz was from a descendant of Leah. Yehuda, Boaz was a descendant of Yehuda. Yehuda was a son of Leah. Af al pi shahayush mishevet Yehuda u'mibnei Leah. Moedim him, they agree, they admitted al Rachel shahoysa ikara shal bais. The reason why we're mentioning Rachel, and not only are we mentioning Rachel, we're mentioning Rachel first, Boaz and all the people, all of the witnesses, all the people here that are giving the bracha, they acknowledge that Rachel was the Ikeres Sabayis. Yaakov Avinu wanted to marry Rachel before him. That was the only one he wanted to marry. V'higdimoy Rachel Leah. Therefore, they were makdim Rachel to Leah. Okay, then it says Ukra Shem Kolaymar. What does it mean Ukra Shem Kolaymar? It's not to be taken literally. Yigdal Shimcha, may your name, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Yigdal Shimcha, may your name become great. Kroshem, may your name become great in the city of Be'efros and Beis Lechem. Okay, let's see the Targum Pasuk Yud Aleph. Targum, Vamaru Kol Amo, Divisra Sanhedrin. Here, the Targum returns to teaching us that the word Shar is a code for the Sanhedrin. May all the people that are on the gate of the Sanhedrin, the Azekainim, they also, Vamaru kol amo divisra Sanhedrin, the Sovaya, all the people who were at the gate of the Sanhedrin and all the elders, they all said, Sohadin anachno, we are witnesses. We are witnesses to the fact that you have acquired all of this real estate and you are marrying Rus. Then they proceed to give her a bracha. Yitin Hashem yos itiso hada de osyo leveisach. May Hashem grant this woman that the osyo leveisach that has come into your home, kirachel uchaleya, divno tar vehon, both of them together have built your space Yisrael, the home of the base Yisrael. Avuna means
Beis Yisrael Avuna, our father, Bishrei Asar Shiftim. So here the Targum is adding in Sabbathan the Pasuk. Our father, Rachel and Leah, have built together with our father, Yaakov Avinu, have built the Asar Shiftin, 10 Shvatim. And why 10? Why not 12? So what happened to the two other Shvatim? So the two other Shvatim. I'm sorry. Avuna, our father, Bishrei Asar Shiftin, the 12 Shvatim, the Aved Chela B'Efrasa, and you shall achieve great things. Chel B'Efrasa, we say Kuroshma B'Beis Lachma, you shall be of a renown in Beis Lachma. So this is the bracha that the people of the city gave to Boaz and Rus, that they should accomplish great things. Okay, but let's take a step back. First, you mentioned over here Rachel and Leah. Rashi already alluded to the fact that they're mentioning Rachel before they're mentioning Leah. Even though Boaz himself was a descendant of Leah, and the Medrash says that most of the people in the Sanhedrin, most of the people out of the city, this city, for whatever reason, were members of the Shevet of descendants of Leah, they still gave kavod to Rachel by mentioning Rachel and by also mentioning her first. Why did they do that?
So,
well, Mashiach ben Yosef. Okay, I don't know about that. But the Mepharshim say two things. Number one, as Rashi says, they were mocking that she was the Ikeres Habayis. Okay, so they wanted to give her recognition. Number two. And this is probably a very powerful reason. They wanted to show a degree of sensitivity, of midah teach you a midah's toivas. This itself is worth learning in Sefer Rus on Shavuos. Der Cheretz Kadm LaTorah. When they don't want to rub it in now, that I guess there was a sense that from this woman great things would come. And being that Yehuda was a descendant of Rachel, and the people in the city, it says in the Medrash, I don't know how the Medrash knows, most of them were descendants of Rachel, there's a tendency to take pride, we're better than our counterpart.
Rachel, okay, it's a good point.
That it would be the lack of their cherets not to make mention of Rachel, a very good point. To Rachel who's buried right there in the city of Beis Lechem in Ephraim, that's a very good point. Okay, but in addition to that, the Mepharshim says that it's min hanimus. When a person succeeds, it's derech eretz to give kavod to the people who don't succeed, who you pass. Like I once, I can give you an mashal. Okay, this is a mashal. Let's say you have a president of the United States. So I once read an article analyzing the inaugural addresses of the president of the United States. Okay, this president is already president number 45. What is this, 45th president in the United States? Okay, so I once read this fascinating article. To read, they have, I guess, records of, at least from the later one, the more recent ones, the speech of the inaugural address of the incoming president. Most of the time, there was a bitter, bitter feud, backstabbing, and machlokis in campaigning for the office. Everyone, there are dirty campaigns, and there are negative campaigns, and there are nasty things that are going on. But when the dust settles, there's a winner. There's a winner.
What? Okay.
So whatever. So it's over. The campaign is over. There's a winner. There's a loser. Bush. Look at Obama and Bush. Most of Obama's campaign was built on stabbing Bush in the back. Isn't that a fact?
I think I must say.
Okay, it was all built. Okay, very good. You've won. I've now become the president. I won. I'm now in office. New party, Democrats in office, Republicans out. It's a new deck of cards. And now it comes time to address the nation at your in front of the nation. And of course, the outgoing president is there, and they shake their hands, and the new president gets up and gives a speech. What is the proper derech eretz for the new incoming president or the new incoming officer to say? Thank you very much. Even though we had a nasty campaign, I won. I'm now in power.
So it doesn't hurt for me to compliment you and to thank you for your service and for all of your effort and for the transition and for all the kind things that you've done. It doesn't hurt. If you're a nasty person, you'll at the podium in front of the whole country, you'll continue to stab your predecessor in the back.
With Cantor, when he was, when Obama came in, the Republicans did not control the House yet. But here's Obama saying he's going to reach out to the Republicans. First, it's in Bob Woodward's book. The first meeting with Howard Cantor, you know what he says? Cantor reaches out. This is, he said, quotes. Cantor reached out to the president. You know what the president told him? No, this is my agenda. But you said you're going to reach out. Well, it's tough. We won. Meaning he said the Democrats won. And they wouldn't power and vote out.
Okay, but that's a power. That's let's talk about...
That's Obama. What do you...
But let's talk about a public... Let's talk about... I want to give you a marshal at the inauguration. Make believe you were fighting with a campaign and you win. Now that you've won, you're already in power. It is Derech Eretz now for you to be gracious.
And not Derech Eretz of politics, right? You're assuming that Derech Eretz of politics.
Well, so Enochin Ami, this, I'm not going to go through, I don't remember the details of this article, but this article, it analyzes, a fascinating article, I don't remember, go look it up online, analyzed how the incoming president in a situation where a new party came into office, the things that were said at the inauguration relating to the bitter rival, how they addressed them. Some presidents were Bali Derech Eretz. We had a bitter dispute, we were rivals, I won, you lost, but it's not important now. Right now, we have to look forward, and right now, I'm going to give lavish praise to your predecessor, what you've done, what you've accomplished, thank you very much. It's a certain way of Derech Eretz. And then there are certain presidents that don't have Derech Eretz. And they come in, and even when they come and they address the nation after they've achieved their success, they just wipe the floor with them, with their predecessor. They make sense to them, they say nasty things, good riddance, get lost, who needs you? That is not Derech Eretz. This idea is being brought out here by some of the commentators, and this is very positive. There was always rivalry between the descendants of Rachel and the descendants of Leah. This goes back to the Torah. The Bnei Yosef and the Bnei Leah. There was rivalry. Because who?
Even the rivalry over the building of the Beis
Hamikdash. Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda, Binyamin wanted to swallow up the. Where is the location of the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach is built on the border, and the Medrash says that Binyamin wanted to swallow up. There should not be any portion. Yehuda should not have a portion in the location of the Mizbeach. Okay, I don't have all the details in front of me, but there was always in the history of Klal Yisrael, there is intense rivalry between the Shevet of the descendants of Rachel and the descendants of Leah. Here, at this point in time, who has prevailed?
Yehuda
has prevailed. Yehuda, the birth of Mashiach is now about to happen. Now, Boaz, a descendant of Yehuda, is about to marry Ruth, and from this will come Mashiach. But here it's becoming clear, Lo Yosur Shevet Yehuda Michoik Mibein Raglav. It's a time where Yehuda would gloat, where the descendants of Yehuda would now gloat. Look at this. We have prevailed. Bnei Rachel, get lost. Get off the stage. We don't want to know from you. Not only did the Bnei Yehuda, at this point in time, did they not gloat, they had such a degree of sensitivity, and Derech Eretz, and Nimos, is the first thing they did was to give kavod to the Bnei Rachel. That your descendant should be Kibnei Rachel, first Rachel, and then Leah, because we also want to acknowledge that Rachel was the Keres Havayis. That's quite a lot to say. That's quite a difficult thing for the Bnei Yehuda to swallow, for the Bnei Rachel to swallow and say, that's right, our mother's rival was the Keres Havayis. But you know something? It doesn't make a difference now, because right now we won. Right now, we are in a position of authority. And when you're in a position of authority, in your position, it doesn't hurt for you to be gracious and be kind and compliment your opponent. That is something to learn from this pasuk. Not like what you see sometimes in politics. Okay, there was one particular, this article was focused, I don't want to go into any political speeches, on one particular president who, in a shocking way, at his inauguration, he basically stabbed his predecessor in the back over and over in his speech. And the article was, what is this for? Why is this necessary? Look at other presidents who also won against a rival. And they were gracious, they were kind. So what are you acting like such a low class person to say such nasty things in front of millions of people when it doesn't make a difference anymore? At this point, you won. Now's the time to be gracious and to be kind and to say the right things. You can fight and you can implement all of your policies later on, anyway you have the power. That is what this pasuk over here is teaching you at this point in time. Don't underestimate or don't forget the intense rivalry of B'nai Leah, B'nai Rachel. Here is a moment when the B'nai Leah are in the limelight. They're in the spotlight. They have it all. And here they don't have to even make mention of Rachel. And yet, what is the first thing that comes out of their mouth? We're not gloating over the fact that we have prevailed. And in fact, we give you a bracha that your children should be like the children of Rachel. K'b'nei Rachel b'nei Leah. Teaching you midos toivos, derech eretz. Derech eretz kadma l'Torah. And this lesson alone is worth everything, is worth it all, why we should lay Rus on Shavuos. Shavuos is about derech eretz kadma l'Torah, and you have that right here in this pasuk. Okay, now there's another idea expressed in why we mention both Rachel and Leah, because Rachel had the maila of she was loved by Yaakov Avinu, but had the chasarim that she did not bring forth the majority of the shvatim, whereas Leah had the maila that from her came the majority of Klal Yisrael. Most, she had six children, plus her two shvacha, her shivcha, Zilpa, produced another two, so she had a total of eight. Her share was eight. She had the majority, but she was not loved. Yaakov Avinu was not intending on marrying her. She did not have the full attention of Yaakov Avinu. Therefore, the bracha over here is that now that Melech HaMashiach is going to come from this union, you, Rus, should have both. You should have the combination, the milos of both. The love of Yaakov Avinu, together with the success that your children should be successful in actually bringing Melech HaMashiach. And why does it say the word Banu Shitehen? We mentioned that question. Did you say Banu Shitehen with a nun? So some want to suggest that we're referring to their descendants. Who are the descendants referring to? Who built the the passage should say Asher Banu Shitehen. Why does it say Shitehen with a mem? That's masculine. So some want to suggest it's referring to their descendants. Rachel produced Binyamin. From Rachel came Binyamin. From Leah came Yehuda. And the Beis Hamikdash that was built, that's what we're referring to as Beis Yisrael. Beis Yisrael refers literally to the bias.
But it's also.
Yeah?
It's a collective.
The two together, but usually when the two together are both women, it would be more precise to say with a nun.
I think in Navi, but not beyond.
Hey, it's an echanami. You have to go downstairs and ask your experts downstairs.
Isn't it in Navi, the Chacham, they were never makbid on him, the
M? No, not so. I don't believe so. Technically, technically, when it's a collective noun, you can say with a member. That's only when you're including men and women. That's only true when you include men and women. When you're only referring to women, it's more precise to say shitehen. Why then does it say shitehen with a member? So someone wanted to suggest that when it says here Beis Yisrael, we are really alluding to the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is the bias. Is the base of Klal Yisrael, and the base Hamidut was built upon the Gavul of Yehuda and Binyamin. The Gavulos of Eretz Yisrael. This really is Machlokes in the Gemara. The Machlokes says was Yerushalayim Nischalka l'Shvatim, or was Yerushalayim not Nischalka? Was it divided among the Shvatim or not? Someone that Yerushalayim is public property. It is shared by the entire Klal Yisrael. No one person owns any section of Yerushalayim. Another opinion of the Gemara is that's not so. Half of Yerushalayim is the property of Yehuda, and the other half is the property of Binyamin. And where does the Midah meets? Right in the middle of the Azara. The borderline between Yehuda and Binyamin is the is the line on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is on the boundary of Yehuda, and right after the Mizbeach starts the boundary of Binyamin. So the Beis Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Beis of Klal Yisrael, is built by both Yehuda and Binyamin, and that's what it's here alluding to in this pasuk. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis Vihi Veischa Kiveis Peretz. May your home be like the home of Peretz. Asho Yolda Samal Yehuda. They go on to be very specific. May you be Zochet to be just like the family of Peretz. Asho Yolda Samal Yehuda, which some are built for Yehuda. Yehuda had relations with Yehuda, and from that came out Zerach and Peretz. Min hazera, from the seed, asher yitein Hashem lucha, Hashem will give you min hanara hazos, from this young woman. Rashi pasuk gebeis kibeis peretz sheyotzanu mimenu, which we have come from. So here, what it seems, the reason, and there's a very big question: why over here are we all of a sudden referring to specifically Peretz? There's a long line of yichus, and that's going to be the last pasuk of the sefer going back to Peretz. So someone suggests that since before we gave kavod to Rachel l'chuleya, but don't get carried away. Just because we're giving kavod to Rachel, you have to still remember that the record, may the record state that the winner is Yehuda, Peretz. I mean, weird, what point in time did this, the Yichus begin? It began with Yehuda. Yehuda is going back to the very beginning. Yehuda and Tamar. Others want to suggest the reason why we mention Peretz is Peretz was not expected to be, when he first came to the world, not to be the Bechor. The first one that came out was Zorach. Zorach extended his hand, and everyone, oh, look at that, this child is going to be the firstborn. He's going to be the leader. And then suddenly, Zerach took his hand back inside, for whatever reason, and Peretz burst forth. So Peretz was the underdog. He was not expected to be the Bechor. It was unexpected. Likewise, that's exactly what's happening over here. They're telling her, we have over here, Maisa of Simin Labanim. Just like you, Yehuda, you are a descendant of Peretz. And Peretz, it was never expected that from this person, he would be the Bechor. Everyone had their eyes on Zerach, and the fact that he actually tied a band. When Zerach came out, when his hand came out, they tied a band around the hand of Zerach to indicate he is the Bechor. And then suddenly he put his hand back inside, and Peretz put forth his head. And the halach is the one that puts forth the head is the Bechor. No one expected that to happen. Likewise, no one expected that you, Boaz, at this point in your life, when you're 80 years old, and you lost all of your 60 children, your 30 sons and 30 daughters, and you're an old man and you're about to die, no one expected that you'd have another child at this point in time. And certainly no one ever would have imagined that Ruth Hamavia, a woman who comes from a nation that's not even accepting Klal Yisrael, at this point would be accepted and would be the father of Melech HaMashiach. No one ever expected this to happen. But you know something? It's not the first time that something unexpected happened. Let's go back to your great-great-great-grandfather, whoever that was, however great it was. Let's go back to Peretz. Peretz, no one ever expected that he would be the Bechor. It was just a bizarre event. Here we see Ma'ase Avos Simin LaBanim. It's happening all over again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates in unknown ways. So that's why we mention Peretz. Asher Yolda Samar Lihuda, we actually mentioned the entire Maisaleda. The whole event was a very bizarre occurrence. Okay, Min HaZera. Why does it say Min HaZera? Why does it say Min HaBein? So some say we know that it's not going to happen right away. Mashiach will come Min HaZera from this seed. So this is a very interesting idea, because many Gedolim were asked, do you expect Mashiach to come in your lifetime? And it's very interesting what different Gedolei Yisrael said. The Chafetz Chaim believed firmly he was going to come in his lifetime. The Chafetz Chaim really yearned, Achakele b'chol yom sheyavo. But there were other Gedolei that openly said that Mashiach is not coming in my lifetime. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said this. He says, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. I don't see it coming in my lifetime. So what does that mean? But how could he say that? Don't we say in davening every single day, Achakele b'chol yom sheyavo? Okay, so this is something which obviously, we don't know what this means, whatever this means. There are different levels of emunah. There is, it can come any single moment, and we hope it will come every single moment, but sometimes there is a certain degree of being realistic that we're not ready yet. is a certain great people have a degree of sensitivity that we're not familiar with, that you don't see the generation being ready for Mashiach to come. That idea, to some degree, is alluded to in this passage. It says to the commentators, min hazera. They had a sense that from this union, the Melech HaMashiach would come. But they said, it's not happening tomorrow. Oh, but come tomorrow. That's right. That's one dimension. That's one machshava. But there's another machshava of being realistic. Or okay, I don't have the.
No, but isn't there also the concept of the Mashiach coming? Behesek
hadas. Yes. So maybe that's all part of it.
That's unexpectedness.
Here it says Zera. Zera verse min habein hazer. The Zera has a connotation, seed. Seed always means generations later. It's not going to happen immediately, it's going to happen at a point later in time. And here we're referring to the Melech HaMashiach.
Besides that, this happened just the giving of the bracha at the chuppah. There was nothing. You're going to have Zera.
You're going to have a child. But then the child himself will be Melech HaMashiach. What's so terrible? The child will take 9 months for the baby to be born, and then it'll take a couple of years until he matures and is eligible to lead Klal Yisrael. So it'll take some time, but it'll still be a bane in a couple of years, in 20, 30 years. So things will change. Who knows what could happen in 20, 30 years? But they're not even saying that. There's a minute to throw, and an ofrof to throw kolayos. Seeds, wheat seeds. Why wheat seeds? I don't know why. But this is a very interesting idea. It's noted by the Medrash why it says Zera and does not say Min Habein, because Zera means not now. Things eventually, we're not ready. Klal Yisrael is not ready that to accept the halacha in full force. A Moavi v'loy Moavis. We don't even have a Beis HaMikdash yet. We're not at that point, but we know that it's going to happen at some point in time.
There's another reason why it says Zera. Because it couldn't say Bain, because Boaz died, he didn't see this.
Boaz doesn't die, but it's still called the Bain, even though he did not see, even though he did.
Know, but
even
Zera,
though he did. Okay. Right now, did Boaz know that he would die? Well, actually, this itself is subject to debate, because Boaz said Hayom. If we go back to the pasuk before pasuk yud, v'gam es rus hamoravir eishas mamachlan konisi li isha lehakim shem ames hanaklaso v'lo yikores shem ames meim echad mushar mekomo edim atem Hayom. Why did Boaz add the word Hayom? So maybe Boaz was one of the shoftim. He had Ruach HaKodesh. Maybe he knew that he's going to die today. After he married her, Chazal said that he died that evening. That very day he died. After he took her in as a wife, he died. So either he knew up Ruach HaKodesh, this was his last day, or he was Niba ve'eni yodea ma Niba. You have that concept, Yaakov Avinu also. Yaakov says, Yeshever b'Mitzrayim. There is Shever, who's alluding to the fact that Yosef, Gamis, there's a few psukim, he said things, he hinted to, that Niba ve'ene yodea ma Niba. He said things, it was not even aware what he was saying, so he actually came out of his mouth that it's only going to be Hayoim, but it's not going to be tomorrow, because tomorrow I'm already finished. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. They go on, Vayikach Boaz, Pasuk Yigimel, Vayikach Boaz as Rus, Boaz, he took Rus, Vatihilo Isha, she was him as a wife, Vayavo Eleha, he had marital relations with her, Vayitin Hashem Lo Heroyon, Vatele Bain. Hashem brought about that she was pregnant, and she gave birth to a child. Now, Vayikach means he gave her Kesef Kiddushin. There is a discussion in Mesechta Yevamos, when it comes to the laws of Yibam, you don't have to technically make do kesef kiddushin. A man acquires a yivama through bia, through marital relations. However, the Gemara says it's minanimus. The proper thing is to do maimer. It means first to make kiddushin, and you see that's what Boaz here is doing first. Even though technically, if he's marrying her with a symbolic form of yibam, he could marry her with bia. He chose not to do so. First, he gave kesef kiddushin. Then he took her as a wife, chuppah. He took her into his rishus. Into Rishus, and then Vayavo Eleha, Vayitin Hashem Lo Heroyon Vatele Bein. Now I want to just go back one thing before to the pasuk of Rachel Vileya. Rachel, here it's very explicit. Pasuk here does not spare us from the details. Vayovo elecha. Generally, the psukim are more discreet. Some learn, indeed, whenever the psukim are very explicit, it's teaching, with regard to tzaddikim, it's teaching us that it was 100% l'shem shamayim. And in fact, this was something which the people were a bit surprised. In other words, it appears that it was discovered by the Hamoinam what Rus did. That Rus went and lay down at the feet of Boaz in the field, it was discovered. Now, it was not discovered at B'shas Mais. If it would have been discovered B'shas Mais at the time, that would have been scandalous. And that is why Boaz was so insistent that Rus should go back discreetly. But after it was already over, if you want to go tell over a story, let me tell you the story, then it's not so bad. You think about it in life. I mean, today, it's not the way the media operates. The media is very, very willing to dig up stories from 100 years ago that no one knew about and make it into a scandal and prosecute people. But when you tell over the story yourself, it's not as bad. If you're caught, b'shas ma'isa, how are you going to explain yourself? But when you want to relate what happened at a later point in time, then it's not as bad. Here, the people recognized, they found out what happened. And being that they found out about it afterwards, and they knew the entire, they were filled in all the details, it was not viewed as something negative. In fact, they viewed it as something positive, and they compared it to Rachel and Leah. Both Rachel and Leah spoke to their husbands with explicit terms. Rachel said to Yaakov, Havali vanim v'im ayin mesa anochi. Give me children. Havali banim is an explicit term. Havali banim, give me children. What does that mean exactly? Have marital relations with me. That's a very, is that the proper thing for a woman to say to a husband? Seemingly not. That's not, and even if it's true, is it necessary for the Torah to record such a statement? Seemingly not. That's not, who else, and Leah, what did Leah say to Yaakov? That Tova Eli, when Yaakov came back from the field, she purchased the right to be with Yaakov by selling the dudoim of her son Reuven. Reuven brought home that evening flowers, some type of fertility treatment, some pills, whatever it was, flowers. And Leah said, oh, I need that, I want that. So Rachel said, Leah said, if you want me to give you the flowers that my son Reuven gave me, I'll give it to you on the condition that you allow Yaakov to be with me tonight instead of Yaakov going to your tent this evening. And the Torah records that. And then indeed, when Yaakov came back from the field, Leah said to Yaakov, come to me. I have purchased you for the evening. That's why he's called Yisachar. Why is Yisachar called Yisachar? Kisachar Sechartecha. I bought the right to be with you this evening. It was not my turn. This evening it was not my turn, but I purchased the right to be with you by giving up the flowers. It's very bizarre that the Torah records this transaction and the words that Leah used to Yaakov. So what do we take away from this? That both Leah and Rachel used explicit terms to their husband. They spoke explicit terms to their husband, demanding that their husbands be with them. Was that proper? Well, if the Torah records it, we are full emunah that it was 100% l'shem shemayim. It may not be something that the average person would be permitted to say. You're not allowed to talk like that. But in fact, the Torah records this. We have emunah that it was 100% l'shem shemayim. Therefore, the people said, we also acknowledge that the behavior of Rus, of going to the field and lying down by your field, was also 100% l'shem shemayim, just like Rachel and Leah. Just like Rachel and Leah. I have this over here in this sefer. I actually underlined it. Where did I see if I can quickly bring it up.
Say more. Even the way Tamar did it was also l'shem shemayim.
Okay, but we're not going to Tamar. Tamar, we're not going back that far, right?
Okay.
Oh, so you want to say the next also Peretz also? Okay, that's an interesting point.
Okay,
but what about Lot? What about the daughters of Lot? Well, the daughters of Lot, only the daughters of Lot were l'shem shemayim. Were they l'shem shemayim? Okay, but Lot was certainly not l'shem shemayim. but with the daughters. Okay, so this is how some of the commentators explain Shan the Pasik of Rachel Vileya. They were explicit, but it was L'shem Shemayim. We acknowledge the behavior of Rus was also done L'shem Shemayim. Okay, now that just came to memory, there's another interpretation why we mention Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah did not come from the best yichus. They came from Lavan, Mesuel. They came from, they were Lavan and Mesuel. This was not from the best yichus. Yet, from Rachel and Leah came Klal Yisrael. So the people here are acknowledging that Boaz, we acknowledge that even though Rus does not come from the best yichus, doesn't matter. What counts by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the heart. Since this woman is behaving L'shem Shemayim, that's what counts. Just like Rachel and Leah, they did not come from the best yichus, and from them came Klal Yisrael. The same thing will be that from Rus HaMoviah will come Klal Yisrael, the Melech HaMashiach, despite the fact that she comes from bad stock.
Whoever wrote the Rus had to write it, because if later they said that you came from Tamar and Yehuda, which was not a also not such a
right.
So he wanted to make it a little better by saying Rachel Vileya also.
Rachel, you're trying to embellish
the
yichus.
The whole situation a little calmer.
Okay.
Say Rachel Vileya, then you can say.
Then you can say Tamar. Before you want to say something negative, you say something positive. You say you give cover before you have to mention the facts that are not pleasant.
Okay.
Yeah.
The comparison is the Sarah. Sarah lacked equipment to conceive, and
Hashem
intervened.
Hashem created a rechem. Sarah did not even have a womb, and the fact that she was able to give birth was 100% l'mal mederech hatev. There's one thing called an akara. A woman has the kalim; she has the womb, but for whatever reason, she has not conceived. Then there's situations where the woman is not even capable of conception. So some indeed want to suggest that this was also l'mal l'mederech hatev, and that's why it says here vayiten Hashem lo herayon. Hashem gave her. Why? What's the emphasis? Vatar. All it should say is vatar vatele ben. This expression is superfluous. This expression. That's the answer.
But all this. You still need Vayitan Hashem lo herayon. Nothing would have helped.
But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her the koach, or gave her the womb. It was a nes l'mal l'mederech hateva that she should be able to become pregnant. If the pasuk would have said Vayavo elecha vatar vateled ben, that's the way we would have written the pasuk. What's Vayitin lo Hashem herayon? Hashem miraculously put in her body a womb that she could conceive and she could become pregnant. Okay, there's another important medrash. Hey, Rayon is Begematria 271. Why the number 271? How long is 9 months? Well, 9 months, some of the months are 30, some of the months are 29 days, but 9 times 30 is 270. So 9 months, approximately 270 days, plus one. The one is for the day for the Zera to take root, niklat, for the conception to take effect. So there's the day of the act of the marital relations, and then it takes one day for that seed to take root, to become, to activate, and then there are 270 days that follow, for a grand total of 271 days. And that's why it says here the word hey rayon. And this was important. Everyone knew that she was pregnant from Boaz. No one would suspect that she was pregnant from someone else, because it was exactly 271 days after this event took place, she gave birth to Teled Bain. The number is a significant number. We mentioned this, that's why the Gemara talks about this, that in the previous generations it was very accurate. Today, obviously, this is not so. No, very rarely does a woman give birth exactly in 9 months. 271 days after conception. It's either more or less, whatever it is. But in ancient times, when people were healthier and everyone was on a very precise clock, it was accurate. And ad kedei kach, men would make a calculation if their wives would conceive this evening when their wife would give birth. And they would actually look at the calendar, and if they saw that the wife would give birth on Shabbos, they would refrain from being with their wives, so they should not involve chilul Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos michaluloi. It says such a thing. It says this in the end of Yeshaya. That's pshat in the pasuk. Shomer Shabbos atekach. That's how people were careful in shmir Shabbos. They would not want their wife to have to go on a Shabbos in the car service with a goy, and the doctors have to mechal Shabbos in the press of Leda, which would also involve a bris that would take place on Shabbos, which also involves chil Shabbos. I know you'll say it's chutra, it's tchuya, but after everything's said and done, it's still not in the spirit of Shabbos that there should be chil Shabbos. So therefore, we have this number is in halacha is a significant.
This means that giving birth is not a pikuach nefesh.
Giving birth can lead. Giving birth can lead to giving birth. We all know from the Gemara can lead to Chil Shabbos. Even though giving birth is a natural occurrence, it still doesn't always go according to plan, and that's what it says. That Shomer Shabbos Michalo refers to people that would calculate the 271 days. To make sure that if they to prevent the wives from becoming pregnant in order not to get involved in the Chil Shabbos.
There's actually Yehi Ratzon on prayer for your wife not to have a baby on Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
Where is this Yehi Ratzon?
I'll bring you a copy of it.
Because of Chil Shabbos. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Targum and Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Unesev Boaz Yosrus. Okay, it says here in Pasig in the Targum that Boaz, when it means he married Rus, Vahavas Leila into, she washed him as a wife, V'ol Livosa, he came upon her, that basically means Vayavo Eleha, V'hav Hashem Lo Idui, Hashem granted her pregnancy. The word Idui means, it's very interesting, it means, really means an ornament. It means a beauty. Aid means jewelry. It's a tachshit for a woman to be pregnant. It means she has achieved.
Beauty.
He has achieved her role.
A glow.
The glow of pregnancy. This is what it says. A very fascinating targum. The glow of pregnancy. That's what it's called. Vayitin law. That's what it says. Idi means an ornament. Vileidas bar. She gave birth to a son. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Vatomarna, what was the reaction? Vatomarna hanoshim el Naomi, the women when she gave birth, the women reacted to Naomi. Now notice they gave a mazel tov to the mother-in-law, to the grandmother. The first mazel tov does not go to the mother. The first mazel tov goes to the grandparents. Vatomarna hanoshim el Naomi, Baruch Hashem, blessed is Hashem asher lo hishpis loch. Goyel Hayam, Hashem did not deny from you a redeemer. Your son, basically, according to the deeper interpretation, is that your son Machloin has now been redeemed. And if you want to go and go into the Kabbalistic Svarim, this means that the neshama of your son Machloin has been resurrected in the child Oved that has been born to Naomi, whatever that means. You have nachas. Asher lo hishpes loch goyel, the redeemer has not been denied from you hayom today. V'yikarei shmo b'Yisrael, and may his name be called in Klal Yisrael. In other words, may he become great. As we mentioned before, v'yikarei means may his name become great in Klal Yisrael. Let's see the Targum. There is no Rashi on this pasuk Yudalid. And the women said to Naomi, "Berich Shmei Hashem, Hashem's name be blessed. The love is saklich parika. Hashem did not deny from you, did not take away from you a redeemer. Yom Adin on this day, the Yiskarei Shmei. Now look what the Targum says. The Targum explains what it means because the pasuk is sad. The Yiskarei Shmei, may his name be called. What should his name be called? The pasuk, the ikar is chaser min hasefer. What should his name? What, he should go be on the 10 most wanted by the FBI? His name should be called? He should be on the poster? What does it mean his name should be called? So the Targum embellishes. It's obvious what they meant to say was, he shall be listed among, counted among the tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael. V'yizkerei shemei min tzaddikei Yisrael. Among the righteous of Klal Yisrael.
He should have a name.
Right, so that's the question. Rashi before, see, if you go back, Rashi alluded to this part of this idea back. We did this when we started today. Go back to Psukim of Yikare Shem, back in Pasuk Yud Aleph. That when the people, the elders and the Zakenim, when they gave a bracha to Boaz, it says, Zukura Shem, Kiloimar, Yigdal Shimcha. May his name be great. The child that you'll have from this room, may it be great.
Can a child be named after the father?
The Sfardim do. By the Sfardim, that's the greatest covet.
Living.
Or they don't do it after the father. They do it after the grandfather. The grandfather. The living grandfather.
If he died that night, then
so the you ask a very good question. First of all, even if he was alive when the baby was born, why wasn't the baby named Machlein? After, since this was a symbolic Yibum, and in a symbolic Yibum, you name the child after the deceased, so the child should have been named Machlein. And if you don't want to name Machlein, so they should name it Boaz. If the father died, Boaz. So why was he called Oved? So it's a tough question. There is, I don't see any.
The grandchildren called after the grandfather.
By the Sfardim, it's yes. The Sfardim is the great. What? In Tanakh?
You don't find that someone called Reuven, you don't find him Shimon. They had a lot of grandkids. You don't find him Shvatim.
Okay, names in general are very
Rishada. You ever find that repeated ever again?
Okay, I don't know the answer, but
they invented original names.
Right.
They created new names to represent the what was happening. I don't know. So this is a very good question. The Mepharshim, they ask this question. They don't have a good answer. They want to say that the word Oved captures really the essence of both. Oved means Oved. They wanted a name after Boaz, and they wanted to name after Machlein. So the name Oved, which means that he is a person who will serve his creator, will capture the milos of both Boaz and of Machlein. That one name captures both. It's not a satisfying answer. The question is better than the answer. I don't have anything more. Okay, so we have here, they called him Oved. Let's just see what it says over here. The bracha they gave for a very beautiful bracha, Yikare Shmo B'Yisrael. Let's go back. They gave her Yikare Shmo B'Yisrael. Okay, let's see over here. Pasuk Tezvav V'Hayolach. Okay, now before we go further, the Mepharshim tells us very powerful that a person should never deny himself from receiving a bracha from great people. A person should not think, listen, I'm already an adult, I've already made a name for myself, I have a wonderful reputation, I do not need to receive a bracha from anyone. Boaz was the Gadol Hadar. He was the Gadol Hadar. But the only reason why he was Zocha to have a child in the Mepharsh Shalom is because of the bracha that he received from the Zikanim and from the Am. Going back to Pasuk Yud Beis, they gave him a bracha. They gave him a bracha in Pasuk Yud Av and Pasuk Yud Beis. The bracha was, Vayomru Cholom Asher B'Shav HaZikanim Ya'edim Yitain. Look at this beautiful bracha. Yitain Hashem Eso Isha Haba El Beisecha. Hashem should give you a bracha that this woman should be like Rachel and Leah, and v'yikarish shem b'veis lechem. Pasuk b'veis. They continue. V'hi veis chak b'veis peretz. Hashem yodu samul hudu min hazera shehit Hashem lo lecha min anara hazos. They gave him a bracha, and here the women are giving a bracha that Hakadosh Baruch Hu should continue to continue. That Geshem Shnichnas Lebris Kin Yikones LaTorah Luchol Masdam, you should continue to marry, to be a great person. The Chazal, they take note the fact that these brachos are recorded. We could assume that every time one of the Shvat, one of the Ishi HaTanach were born, the people gave brachos. Why here is it necessary to record these brachos? So the answer is that if not for these brachos, none of this would have ever happened. Boaz was 80 years old. He was a lamal mederech hatev that he should have a child. The fact that he had a child only came in the zuchus of the bracha of the zakenim and the am. Then go further. Okay, we have a child. How long will this child last? One generation, two generations. We know that Asalia, when her son was killed, she took the malchus for herself. This was during the middle of the bayis rishon. She killed all of the zera hamalucha. And there was only one child left, and that was Yoash. Yoash was the last living descendant of David HaMelech. And al derech hateva, Yoash Asal Yishev succeeded in finding this little baby and killing him. And it was a miracle that Yoash survived. Yoash was taken by, I've got all the names of the people, by Yehoyada and by Yehoyada's wife, and they hid him in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or some say in the attic of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Chazal take note, in what zuchus did he merit to survive this ordeal? They were searching for him, they were searching to find this little baby, the last living descendant of David HaMelech. And they come and they say, it's only because of the bracha, would you believe this? The bracha of this very pasuk that we just read, here of these women. The women gave a bracha to this woman, Vatimarna, Hanoshim El Naomi, Baruch Hashem, Ashlei Hishbis, Loch Goyel Hayom, V'Yikarei Shmo B'Yisrael. Which basically means he should live forever. V'Yikarei Shmo B'Yisrael, he should be a tzaddik, he should survive. They go on a little bit more. They mention some more things. It's only in that bracha did the child survive many, many generations later on. So basically, what we learn over here is never underestimate the koyach of a bracha. You go to a person with a bracha, you don't know what's chus, and especially if they mean it. They say, it's one thing, a person just says, yeah, mazel, blah, blah, blah. But if a person gives you a sincere bracha, a heartfelt bracha, you should never underestimate the koyach of the bracha. It may not be appreciated now, but who knows what could happen 50 years down the line, 100 years down the line, it's waiting to be chal, and we see that here from both the Anoshim and the Zakenim and from the Noshim that gave a bracha to Naomi.
This bracha was unsolicited. You go to a Rebbe, you're solicited.
Oh, exactly. So Allah has come to come. That's really the real bracha. When a person gives you an unsolicited bracha, they really mean it. When they give you you go to a bracha, so now you're paying pidyon. Okay, you have to give money, so it okay, let's see. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk tezvah v'hoyu l'chol l'meishiv nefesh. May this child be for you l'meishiv nefesh. Menuchas ha-nefesh. There's no greater bracha in this world than menuchas ha-nefesh. People, they are people we all know that have everything. They have wealth, they have fame, but they have no menuchas ha-nefesh. There's something bothering them, and you can't enjoy life now that you have a grandchild. Not everything is lost. This child should be for you nachas. Neshiv nefesh really means nachas. Your nesham is at ease. Ulchalkel es seva seich. It will sustain your old age. Your old age, in other words, either it means simply derech hatev that he will provide for you. He will come every single day and bring you lunch. He will bring you dinner. This grandchild, or it means that in your old age, when you'll think about him, the nachas I have for my grandchildren, that will give you will. Pasechas yodechel maspil l'chol chai rotzon. That will give you sustenance to continue to live a life. Ki chalosech, your daughter-in-law, asher ahe vasech, who loves you, yilodatu, has given birth to you on your behalf. Asher he, look at this compliment. You don't find such a compliment in Tanakh about a woman. Asher he tov loch, she's better to you, mishiva v'bonim, better than seven sons. If you would have had Naomi seven sons, they would have not have come to the degree of goodness like this daughter-in-law you merited, Rus HaMoavia. Let's see. Elkanah, what did he say to Chana? I am better to you than seven sons. I am better to you than ten sons? Than the ten sons of okay, whatever it is. So he's saying that you should. But here is that. Why did you say exactly seven sons? So there are a number of midrashim. Let's just first see the targum one thing at a time. Pasuk tezvav in the targum. Avihi loch lemekam nefash. May this child be lemekam to establish your neshama ulechal koloyos save sich and to sustain you in your old age. Be tafnukin arum b'tafkunin. Tafkunin means with delicacies, like the taf nukin, means delicacies. Arum that kaloseich, that your daughter-in-law di rechimis yosich, your daughter-in-law loves you, yelidite, and has given birth on your behalf. Your daughter-in-law who loves you and has given birth for you. This child, the he havas tov solich, she's better to you, be idon ar melusich. At the time, now here is something that the Targum adds in. She is good to you at this time in your life. The time in your life when you are an almana. I don't know why the Targum is adding this in. Does that mean to say that she was not good to her at an earlier point in time? Look what it says here. That she is good to you. Arum kalosich di rechinis yosich. She is good to you. Yiluditech dihi havas tovsolich diidon armelusich.
It's even a greater praise.
Even at the time of your widowhood, even at that time, she has not abandoned you. Misagiin binin from. Now notice that the Targum, very interestingly, does not say the word seven. He says seven is just a metaphor. It means that having a lot of children. Seven is not something of any significance. Now, however, now there are other interpretations. There's one based upon a pasuk in Divrei Hayyam, which I'm not familiar with. The details that there are a list of seven great leaders. There are seven great leaders there and listed in the Shevet of Yehuda. I don't have the pasuk in front of me, and there, and that this person is greater than all of the seven nobles that will come out of Shevet Yehuda. This child will be Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach is the ultimately greater than, like they have the Shiva Toivei Ho'ir. There are seven. Every city is supposed to be established with seven. The Shiva Roye Pinei HaMelech. We have this by Achashverosh. Achashverosh had seven advisors. So the seven banim doesn't just mean seven. It means the seven noblemen of every city. There are seven people who rule a city, who are the advisors. They sit on the seat of authority of Malchus. This child will be even greater than the greatest people in the country, referring, of course, to the Melech HaMashiach, which stands above them all. Okay, some also want to say this child will bring for you David HaMelech, and David HaMelech was the eighth of eight children. So there were seven children, and there was David. Now, when we get to the end of the sefer, we'll go over this. We'll go over at length the story of the birth of David. It's a very bizarre story how David was born. David was born almost by accident. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later on. But the family of Yishai only believe that Yishai had seven sons. He had seven sons, and then there was this illegitimate child who was a shepherd and was not accepted. I'm telling you, we'll get to this. The Chidah talks about this story. The Chidah mentions this story, I think, they write 16 times. The Chidah mentions this.
Well, even when Shmuel went to, one Shmuel, seven sons. Okay, that's it.
He said, it's over. Is there anyone else? And Yishai said, there's no one else. Yishai, you have to remember, Yishai was a tzaddik, Yisrael Elam, was listed as one of the people that died
without sin.
He would not lie to Shmuel. When he told Shmuel, I have no other children but these seven children. No, there's one more child, the illegitimate child. He's out there in the field. Go get him. They got him. Okay, we'll come back later. We'll go to that later on. But the point is that this David, this Melech HaMashiach, all of them, all of those children were descendants of Yishai. So we're not. But what he's referring to over here is that the child that will come from you will be even greater than the other seven that came before him. Yishai had seven sons that were very, very great tzaddikim. But ultimately, the child that's number eight, who is David HaMelech, will be even greater than the seven brothers that came before him. That's one interpretation in the Medrash. Yeah.
Another version. Seven generations.
Oh, exactly. Now, the last pasuk in the sefer. What's the last pasuk in the sefer? We'll just jump ahead. We have Elutolos Peretz. It's Peretz, Chetzron, Ram, Aminadav, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz. Okay, and then comes Oved. Wait, I'm making a mistake. Okay,
Til Boaz.
That's the seven.
Yeah.
So this will be better. The child Oved in those seven. So we have here, until now there were seven generations starting from Peretz until you, Boaz, and now number eight is going to be even greater than all of those seven that came before. Okay, there's another interpretation that we're referring to David, and we start backwards from David, seven backwards. Okay, but basically, so then you want to take the word seven, we're going to figure out the different names at the end of the Sefer and work backwards or forwards. But the point over here is that according to the Medrash, we take the number seven very literally. And according to the Targum, uncharacteristic of the Targum, the Targum not only does it take what it says in the Pasuk literally, he likes to embellish it with more details. And here the Targum is telling us that what it says in the Pasuk is not to be taken literally, but rather is just a metaphor to mean that this child is better to you than had you had multiple children. Pasuk Tezayin, Vatigach Nami es Hayeled, she took the Yeled, she put the child in her bosom, Vatihilo Le'oimenes, and she raised the child. According to some commentators, this is a very shocking thing to say, is that Rus died shortly thereafter. Rus died. And that is why Naomi was the one who raised the child. Just like Boaz died, Boaz was not a chiddush that he died. He was 80 years old. According to the Medrash, she was, 300 years old? 400 years old? There are different Midrashim, but at least, everyone says he was at least 80 years old. But Rus was a young woman. She was 40 years old. Why would she have died at such a young age? But some want to say that's what the Pasuk here means. That's what's telling us, that the one that raised the child was Naomi and not Rus, because Rus was no longer alive. That stands in conflict with the Medrash that says that there was a chair that was set next to Shlomo HaMelech. Rus lived an unusually long life. She was called the Ima Shel Malchus, a special chair. So you have Mi'ekotze El HaKotze. Either she died, Naomi raised the child Oved, or she lived an unusually long number of years to see Shlomo HaMelech Yoshev Al Kisei. That is exactly typical of Midrashim. They conflict. They disagree, and not only do they disagree, when they disagree in the extremes. In the extremes. And that's a very good example over here to illustrate that point. I remember once person I was learning, he couldn't get this. He had not wrapped this around his mind that any two Mamori Chazal disagree. It had to be that unless you have a name, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, but if you have a Medrash, and you have, how could there be two Midrash and that conflict?
What's the source?
That's why most people don't
work Medrash. You have to understand that there are Midrash, and that sometimes there are different dimensions, they don't disagree, you can work them both out, and sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't work them out, and you have to say there are different traditions. Maybe one is to be taken literally, one is not to be taken literally. I don't know, but this is a very good example. Okay, now some want to suggest, like Sari Imenu, she miraculously nursed all of the other children. Not only was Sari Imenu, she was an elderly woman and was able to have children. She was also, it was another miracle that she was able to nurse the children. Sarah, that no one should say Mavi Melech Nisabra. People would say that Yitzchak was an Asufe. Yitzchak, they found him in the street. Or, so in order to say that it's not so that Sarah really conceived, she was able to nurse, and she nursed all of the non-Jewish neighbors. How could she possibly nurse? It must be that she really did indeed give birth. So here as well, there was a supernatural miracle that Naomi was able to nurse a child. Somehow that enhanced the miracle, and that's why it says Bicheika, a reference to feeding the child. She was Lo'imena, she was the nurse. She was the nurse, meaning that she was one who raised. What does the Pasuk tell us this? So Chazal say, Kol HaMagadel Yeled V'Sech Beso Ki'ilu Yoldoi. Anyone that raises a child in their home, it's as if they gave birth to the child. That's really seen more from the next pasuk. Because we read the next pasuk, we right away jump to pasuk Yitzayim Vatikrena Loi Hashchinas Shem Leimar. The neighbors called the child the name saying Yulad Bein La Naomi. Who was the one that gave birth to this child? Naomi is the mother of the child. What are you talking about? Naomi is the grandmother. But being that Naomi raised the child, you adopt the child, as far as the Torah is concerned, you are the parent. Kol HaMagadel Yosoim B'Sach Beso Ki'ilu Yoldo. That's learned from this pasuk right here.
Also Mordechai and Esther.
Mordechai raised Esther, so it's as if Esther was his daughter because he raised her. Sitting over here, she was the nurse. For whatever reason, Rus was busy, or she was not alive. Naomi is called the one who raised it. Yulad Bein La Naomi. Vatikrena Shmo Oved, and she called. Vatikrena means she called the name Oved. Hu Avi Yishai Avi Dev. Let's just do the Targum on these Sukkim and we'll stop. But let's go back to the two Sukkim, Pasuk Design, Pasuk Tetz Design. Unisevas. I'm sorry, Pasuk Tezayin, it says, Unisevas Naomi Yos Ravya. And Naomi took, the Sevas means she took, Yos Ravya. Yav means the young child, the baby. Vishavias Yosei Be'itpa. And she took him in her bosom, b'cheika, in her bosom, v'havas le lisurbinta. Lisurbinta, she was to the child as a nurse. Lisurbinta means in Armenis. Pasik te yudzayin, ukiron le shevavson. The neighbors called Shum a name. The neighbors gave a name saying, Isyelid bar lina'ami. They gave out word. The neighbors started to report. They reported to the media the following. There was a press release. A press release to all the newspapers. A child was born to Naomi. Vahavo Quran Shemei. Now it says Vihoyu. Vatikrena means they. According to the Targum, I think similarly you mean Vatikrena means that the neighbors call. Vatikrena means they call the name Oved. He's a person who serves Hashem. Hu Avu the Yishai, the father of Yishai. Avu David, Yishai was the father of David. Oved means to serve. David said, Ani Avdecha ben Amosecha. Why did David call himself an Eved? Means he is Avdecha ben Amosecha. I take Av, who is Amosecha, your maidservant? Who is the one that said, Forasta kenofecha al Amosecha? Rus. Who is the Avdecha? Avdecha is Oved. Honor Hashem ki ani Avdecha ben Amosecha. I am a product of Oved, the child of Rus.
Calling a name, there's a lot of...
Yeah, absolutely. That Chazal's the stiblus, the neighbors, the Enochanami. So the neighbors, the Enochanami is a very good point. The neighbors called. Chazal say a person has three names. The name.
No.
Could you write that is discussed. That's not Enochanami. Was not necessarily who was given at the bris. Could very well be the name was given at the bris. Was they called him? They called him Machlein, or maybe they called him Boaz. But the name that stuck is the name that the neighbors called him. They called him Oved. And David also referred to that in the Avdecha ben Amosecha. Chazal say a person has three names. The name his parents give him, the name he's called by others, and the name he makes for himself. The name you make for yourself. Here in Nechanam, you see over here, we don't even have a reference to the name that his parents called him. We just have the name that he was known to by other people, Oved. I'll just tell you quick, the one I mentioned, Pascani, Avdecha ben Amosecha, there's a very good story with I think the Sfas Semes. The Sfas Semes, he told his Hasidim that this year, it was the Yom Lerav, this year when it comes Sukkot, when it comes to Hallel, if you say Ona Hashem with Kavana, I guarantee you will be extremely successful. You'll all become multimillionaires. Just have kavana when you say Ona Hashem. It came Sukkot, the Hasidim came together. They got Ona Hashem, Hashem, they will love him all, they will love him in their hands. Boy, did they shake. Did they shake? Did they scream? Koilo Subrochim, Ona Hashem Hoshino, Ona Hashem Hoshino, Ona Hashem Atzlichano, Ona Hashem Atzlichano. Year went by, nothing happened. Business as usual. They come back to the Sfas Emes. They say, Rebbe, you promised us. If only we had kavanah, Ona Hashem would be successful. So he said, I meant Ona Hashem ki ani avdecha, not Ona Hashem Oshiyana. If you have kavanah to be the Eved Hashem, then you'll be successful. Stam, you want a handout? Hashiyana, Hatzlichana. Come on. You have to be in Eved Hashem.
Another one would be the guy came to the Rebbe and he just for bracha, I'm in trouble. I know, so the Rebbe gave him a bracha.
Yeah.
He came back, he said, I want to go to America. She said, I want to give you a bracha.
What's with America? Okay, we'll stop.